warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio with David Niles. Actually, I'm standing here in studio with David, who is sitting.
I am actually sitting. You're proverbially?
I'm just standing, sitting. Is really what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm standing.
Yeah, but someone might say, sit still.
Yeah.
But they don't mean sit.
Correct.
Yeah. Is it proverbially?
I don't know. I don't feel like it is, but I can't.
Sounds like I'm missing a syllable.
I'm not positive.
Great, we've already done this.
This is going great.
So just started.
Yeah. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, Dave, we do three things. What are they? Every episode.
These are the things that we literally do these things. We don't proverbially do them.
If that's even the right word. Yeah.
I keep expecting, I'm going to just give it another shot, and this time it's going to come out right.
It's going to be right.
And it keeps feeling bad. Literally, we do these three things. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage that we enjoy because we like it. And then we also do a thing where we highlight a man gear of some kind.
This is going well.
Something that every man, especially the Catholic man, should have and use. And enjoy. And the third thing we do is we highlight, we have a manly discussion. Sorry, this one's just not going well.
Okay, here's the three things we do every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage.
That was my worst rendition.
We highlight a man gear, and we have a manly discussion. Those are the three things we do.
Yes. Thanks, man. Sometimes you just need your brothers to help you out, you know,
dude,
like to fill
shoulders.
In.
They're heavy.
The weight is, yeah. It's really wearing on you.
Yeah. But the man drink that we're doing today
is awesome.
Is something that I'm not okay. Full disclosure.
We're drinking gin.
Yeah, we're drinking gin today. Full disclosure. I know very little, like actually saying I know very little about gin is not really correct. I know really nothing about gin.
To date, basically every gin experience I've had is a close encounter with nausea. And I don't mean 20 minutes later when you've had too much. I mean,
like
you take a sip and you think, wow, I'm going to throw up. But full disclosure, every gin I've had has come out of a plastic bottle from under the sink.
Yeah.
You know, the last one, I remember what it was called. It was called 5 o'clock gin. And it was bad. It was a punishment.
Well, we were sent this gin by a man, Hugh Richardson. He sent us this gin from California. It's from San Francisco, I believe. It's called St. George. Very fitting.
Very cool.
Very cool. It says, a uniquely Californian gin with a sense of place and poetry inspired by the wild beauty of the Golden State.
I dig it.
It's really cool. It has a sweet, like, old school label on it. It says St. George has an awesome bear.
I like it just because they put that on their bottle. You know,
yeah.
Place and poetry.
Yeah, of place and poetry. And when I first tried, like, I decided I'm going to try a little sip of it before, because we're actually having gin and tonic is what we're having.
Correct.
But I wanted to try a little bit of it without the tonic just to try it, because I haven't really had much gin, and all the gins, like, I'm with Dave. All the gins that I've had have been really bad. But this gin has this like eucalyptic, minty, almost taste to it that I was not expecting. I do not recall that being the case with the other gins that I've tried.
Another thing on the bottle, which I really like, it says it's made from 12 botanicals, redolent of California's mighty Mount Tam. And it lists them: Douglas fir, California bay laurel, fennel, coastal sage, orris root, angelica root, juniper berries, and other profoundly aromatic botanical ingredients all come together to create a forest in your glass. Sip it and be transported. It's a pretty sweet, man.
That is pretty sweet.
I read it and I thought, yes.
But okay, so I tried it. But let's cheers. We are off in this episode. Okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
That it's a refreshing drink.
It is a very refreshing. And I get that kind of eucalyptus type of minty taste. But it's not nauseating by any means.
No, this is delicious.
Yeah.
So what we're drinking is basically one part gin to three parts tonic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've said this, but I think we need to drive home the point that we are not gin experts. You know, just because we're reviewing this doesn't mean we know what we're talking about.
Right.
I'm curious to know how much a gin and tonic is dependent on a good tonic.
Well, okay, so
is all tonic basically the same?
I asked you this, and he told me that the guy told him to have a really nice tonic, but he said he went and bought out a really nice tonic because they're not all the same, like a more expensive one.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't like it as much. And so he told me just go get, you know, from the store, go get a regular over-the-counter tonic. And I asked him, well, most people do limes, right? And he said, yeah, don't do a lime. I like it without it.
Okay.
And so I said, hey, you're the guy. You're sending it to us. We're doing it the way.
We're going to do it that way, Hugh.
Yeah, we're going to do it that way.
Here we are.
So,
well, I went to the grocery store and I bought the most expensive tonic they had. It was $1.50.
And it was the only one.
After tax, it was $1.50. And no. There were several.
Mm.
The other ones were 88 cents.
Mm. Well,
I went big.
Let's also cheers to Hugh because he just came into the Catholic Church.
Yes. So, welcome home, brother.
Welcome home to Rome. Here's to you, Q.
Nice.
So, thank you very much. He follows us on Twitter. Great guy. He posted a lot of funny things. In fact, whenever we had, whenever we were talking about, what's that stupid British movie that you like?
Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yeah. He tweeted us something about a duck. You know, I guess it's part of the...
That's how you know she's a witch. If she weighs as much as a duck, she's a witch.
Yeah, he said something, and I was like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. And so I just said something like, yeah, a duck. And he's like, oh, I can tell that this is Adam and not David. And I was like, yeah, you got me. But his handle is at Thank Hugh. And then H-U-W.
Nice.
So,
ducks are made of wood, which is why they float.
I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to talk about Mighty Python and the Holy Grail.
It makes sense, dude, if you think about it.
Okay. I also want to give a huge shout out. Thank you. In fact, we'll have to cheers again. This will be another cheers to the Council of Man members. Here's to you guys.
To all of them.
To every single one of you. Because of your support and donations, we were able to up our game. And we got some new lighting and a backdrop for video.
Yeah, because if you guys, we have less seating available in the studio now.
But we have a black, green, and white screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have four new lightings for video. So because they were supporting us, we were able to do, we've always said, like, the more support we get, the more things we can do.
Right.
And this is one of the things. Like, we're going to start having nice videos, like, that look professional.
Nicer videos.
Yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, come on.
So talk about the Council of Man real quick.
Okay, so the Council of Man are... do you know how many we have?
I do not, off the top.
It's, maybe it's growing. It's always growing. I mean,
maybe
this
50?
Last couple of weeks, we had two or three more.
Yeah, maybe 50.
So if you're saying to yourself, I like the Catholic Man Show, I want to support the Catholic Man Show, what can I do? How can I get more Catholic Man Show stuff? You can join the Council of Man. Previously known as Friends of the Show. What you do is you go to thecatholicmanshow.com and you can sign up. you look for a button that says COM, Council of Man. Basically, it's a group of individuals who have chose to support us by donating $10 a month, and it is tax deductible, your $10. As a thank you, we will send you a Glencairn glass, a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, laser etched thing of beauty.
Yes.
Which is scientifically designed to drink whiskey and to make your whiskey better when you drink it. Yeah. And who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
So also we try to make some new private content once a month, which we need to do. I don't think we did last month. But that's something that we do. We try to, you know, it's basically a more intimate group
of men.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. We have a lot of things coming up, Dave. We have a lot of things coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the camp out that we're going to be doing in the fall.
Yeah.
Which is going to be awesome. We submitted all of the requests to the Clear Creek Monastery. So hopefully we hear back soon to confirm the dates. So we have a lot of things coming up.
I'm optimistic on that.
I'm very optimistic on that.
Yeah, they let other people go camping. So, I mean, it's the kind of a thing that they do. So
yeah. And then we have some men's conferences that we're possibly going to be speaking at.
Yeah.
In Louisiana. We have one that we could be going to in Louisiana.
Possibly Ohio.
Possibly Ohio. And then Phoenix, Arizona. In beginning of February next year. So check out our website, thecatholicmanshow.com. When we get back, we're going to talk about the man gear. If this was the man drink, then the man gear, then the man topic.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles in studio with Adam Minahan, drinking a refreshing gin and tonic. It is a refreshing drink.
With St. George gin.
With St. George gin. Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. So maybe you're a Hendrix drinker. If you're a gin drinker, you probably know of Hendrix. And I've been told that's a good one. I know it's made of cucumbers. Give this one a try.
I think it's not easy to get if you're not in California.
Well, maybe drive to California. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you like gin, from what I can tell, this one's really good. So, there you go.
I agree.
The man gear for today is a flask.
A flask? I can't believe we haven't done that yet.
We say that all the time, though, dude.
Yeah, I guess
there's a lot of just more man gear than we
realized.
Than we realized when we started the
show. Yeah, when we first started the show, we were really nervous, like man gear.
We're gonna run out of stuff to do.
Right. But you know, we've been going over a year and it's like every time it's like, why have we not done that yet?
I realize now that there are more things yet to do than have been done on our show.
I agree with you. Also called a hip flask.
A hip flask?
Mm-hmm. That's what it used to actually be called. Hip flask.
Did you keep it on your hip? Why'd they call it that?
Yeah. Yep, it used to be kept on the hip, so
like in the pocket. I know that it's curved so that it fits up against your leg.
Mm-hmm.
I know in like the
right,
in
like
the,
right there
in the bootlegger days, the reason it was called bootlegging is because women and men would put like flasks
in their boots
and they would have women put them on the inside of their dress because they knew they wouldn't be searched there.
Mm-hmm.
And they would put like big ones, you know.
Yeah,
like maybe a liter each, something.
It's interesting that flasks became popular when wristwatches became popular in the 18th century.
Is that a coincidence or no?
No, I just think it's interesting that they both became popular about the exact same time.
So probably a coincidence.
Oh yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, probably a coincidence. So, however, like in the Middle Ages, they used to like make quote unquote flasks out of fruit, hollowed out fruit. That's how they would keep it. Yeah.
I think a coconut would, would probably work.
I think so. I don't know why not. But
in a lot of fruits, it wouldn't work.
In the 18th century, women boarding docked British warships would smuggle gin. We're drinking gin.
Uh-huh.
Into the ship via makeshift flasks created from pig's bladders, and hit them in their petticoats, kind of like what you were saying, like, you know, where they're not going to get searched.
Frisked, yeah.
Yeah. So, following the act of the prohibition in the 1920s, in America, the state of Indiana banned the sale of cocktail shakers and hip flasks. So, also, just a side note, just for legal purposes, carrying a flask around with alcohol in the public place is illegal in some locations in the U.S. So,
how do you know if just some locations?
Yeah, just many locations.
How do you know?
You need to look it up.
How do you look it up?
Google. Google it.
Like Google, okay, Google, is this location that I'm in right now one of those that's illegal to carry a flask?
Because it has to do with open container laws.
Will Google know the answer to that question?
I don't know. I mean, you as a citizen are responsible for the laws that you're supposed to abide by.
Okay.
So, because we're talking about a flask, I wanted to make sure
not
that...
Not like sure how to obey that law, but, you know, I just can do the best I can. I want to obey the law.
Right. And so I think it's important that
But laws are difficult when they're kind of secret.
That's why I'm trying to make it known.
Well, okay. Look, there's certain places where this is illegal.
You should not do this.
But we're just not going to tell you what those places are.
I'm sure you can easily look that up.
If you're caught in one.
You're acting like that you can't look it up.
I'm sure you can look it up somehow.
I'm sure it's not tough.
I'll bet it's not easy.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway, the flask. I have a couple flasks.
I do too. I have a massive one that I got for a wedding present.
You do? I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's more of a gallon.
Yeah. It's not really a flask at all.
It's two-handed. I don't think it's a flask when it takes two hands to use.
I agree.
It still is what it, although it, I guess it actually
So
is.
When do you use a flask?
When I play golf.
Mm-hmm.
Recently at my daughter's two-year second birthday party, someone showed up with a flask. I thought that was very appropriate. In all seriousness.
I do remember that because I took a swig of it.
Yeah, Juan Posada. In fact, he bought me one of my flasks on his birthday. He's the only guy who's gotten me a present on his birthday.
He does that all the time.
You know what? He's a gift giver.
He is a gift giver.
That's one of his love languages. Yeah, his gift giving. It is.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that was pretty cool.
I like to take it on camping trips.
Absolutely on camping trips.
That's my go-to because, you know, you don't want
to... The gallon one on camping trips, right?
No, because we drink in moderation.
Well, it depends on how long you're camping.
Yeah, you're camping a week.
And with how many people?
Yeah, that's true, because you got to share in excess.
That's the thing about a flask is that...
It's about sharing.
It's even like they have a tiny opening, which makes it ideal for sharing. You don't have to put your mouth on it. Mm-hmm. You can pour it, and because it's not a big opening, it's going to come out at a very regulated speed, and so you can get... pour the right amount into your mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
So a flask is ideal. The man who shows up with a flask somewhere says, don't worry, I came prepared. I thought about this in advance, and I'm here to share. That's what the flasked man says.
That should be a meme.
And I'm here to share.
And I'm here to share. Don't worry, thought about this, and I'm here to share.
I'm prepared, and I'm here to share. You're welcome.
Yeah. And I typically, whenever I carry a flask, I don't have like super high quality whiskeys.
No, but it needs to be good enough to drink straight.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to put any wild turkey or anything in a flask.
I don't mind wild turkey.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I've got too many other options at home.
Yeah. I mean, wild turkey, though, is not bad.
Maybe if I whiskey sticked it.
Ooh.
That's the first time I've broached the whiskey stick on the show.
Mm-hmm. How did that feel?
You know, it's something that I've wanted to talk about for a long, long time. And we're not going to do it now. This is going to be a teaser. But there is a thing that exists. And it's called a whiskey stick.
And now they're going to Google it and they're going to know.
It's not actually called a whiskey stick. But that's what I call it.
I'm sure they Google that.
Hugh.
Thank you, Hugh.
Yeah.
You're the man, Hugh.
You're my boy, Hugh.
But no, I like the nice. There's something about a nice flask that has like I have one that has a leather around it.
Mine too. It says Number One Dad. You have the same one?
No.
That's the one Juan got me. Number One Dad.
The leather around it just makes
it does. It feels good.
It feels good.
I was about to ask you what makes a nice flask.
The leather around it.
The leather. Okay.
In my opinion,
something totally separate from the flask.
Most of the time, they're all in stainless steel now. I mean, they do have plastic ones nowadays that, you know, so that way...
It'd have to be a nice plastic for me to...
It's not. They're not. They're made kind of disposed for like...
Well, I mean, you could make one out of a sweet plastic.
Sure.
And sweet plastic exists.
Sure.
There's like plastic that is will last longer than metal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't comment on that.
I'm just saying.
Okay. But I do like a nice leather flask, mm-hmm. stainless steel flask. Mm-hmm. The nice ones also have those little spout like funnels that you can put on it. So that way you can pour it into it where you're not getting it everywhere.
I don't have anything. I don't got that.
Yeah, which is really nice.
I just use the one for my garage. I used to change my oil.
Remind me never to drink your flask.
Downside to the flask, it does tend to flavor the whiskey a little bit. You do tend to get that metal tinge when you drink it.
Yeah.
Also, difficult to clean.
Yes, difficult to clean. That is true. It is difficult to clean.
And it's like, how many times do you have to rinse it to make sure you got all the soap residue out?
Oh, that would be, yeah, that's a nightmare.
It's a lot.
I just use hot water.
No soap.
No soap.
Maybe a good idea.
I just go hot water. Because, I mean, it's just alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not...
I agree.
I just use hot water. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Instead of soap.
I got to tell you, this gin and tonic I'm really enjoying.
Me too.
I didn't realize I would enjoy this as much as what I am. Mm-hmm. It's very refreshing.
It is.
And easy to drink.
We're not drinking it with a lime. I would like to try it with a lime mm-hmm. just to see what it's like.
Right.
Because when I drink it, I said this before. It feels like I need a lime in here. Mm-hmm. I don't need a lime. It feels like almost like just from what I experience about beverages, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. would expect a lime with this type of drink.
Yeah.
If nothing else, for the color. It's a clear drink.
Yeah.
You know, you always want to add some color to it.
Sure.
That's what they like to do. You ever watch the cooking show? They judge the color of your dish.
They do, yeah.
To me, I think it's stupid. Tastes delicious. Why are you knocking down points? Because there's nothing red on the plate. Foolish.
I have nothing else to comment on that either. I don't have anything to say about that.
So what was the last time you used a flask?
The last time I used a flask
Besides my daughter's two-year-old birthday party.
That was the last time I used a flask. Outside of that was at a golf course.
I think mine was at Curcio.
Oh, nice. Nice. I don't know if that's legal. I think that you signed a waiver that said you would not bring alcohol to Curcio.
Did we?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I didn't bring any.
just letting you know.
I had some.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about bachelor parties. I think that's a good topic.
Totally
wedding season is wedding season.
Wedding
around.
Season.
So... Hang in there with us. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to you, Q. Welcome back to the Catholic Command Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We're going to jump into the man topic.
I'm just saying, don't be afraid to dance to the music. You know what I mean?
I do it every time. That's why I stand, because I can kind of move a little bit more.
Dude, I have some really good dance moves from a seated position.
Dude, you look like Elaine from Seinfeld.
Always thought this about
you look
myself.
Like Elaine, like dancing
in
from
the
Seinfeld.
Car. If only car.
No, I want you to acknowledge that I just said you look like Elaine from Seinfeld.
I'm not acknowledging. I do not acknowledge.
That's what you do to me. Every time I say something good, you keep going and... No, I'm sloughing that off. You're not acknowledging it.
Dude, I don't acknowledge things that put me in a bad light because it's bad for my humility. Especially when they're not true. Elaine and I have drastically different hair.
Yeah, but your moves.
No, dude, our moves... No.
I love Seinfeld.
Me too.
Okay, let's talk about... Let's get into it because there's a lot that we want to talk about. We're talking about bachelor parties today. Wedding season's coming up.
I recently went on one.
So did I. I was the same one. Well, I'm talking about the wedding.
You went to the wedding. I was at the bachelor party.
Correct. But I think that it's important that we talk about this. When you went to that bachelor party, it instantly hit with me. Hey, we need to talk about bachelor parties.
Right. And the bachelor party I went to was good. It was a good bachelor party.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about what a bachelor party is.
Adam, when did the bachelor party, how far back does it date?
Well, okay, so it's interesting because they didn't call it obviously a bachelor party.
No.
But all the way back in the 5th century BC, the Spartans would, before the night of the marriage, would host the man and they'd all like dress up and have a nice dinner and they'd all toast.
I wonder what it looked like for a Spartan to dress up.
I'm under the impression that it was like dress up as in like their war gear.
I put on my really nice headdress for you today, Ben.
That's just my
this
like,
is
impression.
My best loincloth.
But it was all about you know toasting to the man for what he was about to do, and you know, kind of hosting him, like hoisting
him,
honoring him. Yeah, thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
I could tell you were struggling.
Yeah, because I was like, I was using my hand motions, which doesn't do well on radio.
No, I knew that's what you needed.
Yeah. It was all about honoring.
Honoring him.
Honoring him. And it wasn't until like the late 1800s, at least that's what I read on Wikipedia.
Okay.
That bachelor parties started becoming more like full of debauchery.
Debaucherous? Is that a word?
Maybe.
Let's make it a word.
Catholic Man Show trademark. Because there was some very popular guy, you know, very well-known guy who got busted because they found out that cops raided his house because they heard that there was going to be a belly dancer that was in the nude at his bachelor party.
Mm.
And so some famous belly dancer. Anyway, so that was kind of at least the beginning of these bad bachelor party, you know, what people thought were bad bachelor parties. Mm-hmm. And then it obviously increased really bad in the 1920s. And then in the 1960s was when it, you know, with the free love and all that sexual revolution. That's actually when the first bachelorette parties started as well. Go figure, right? Because it was all about women, you know, expressing their sexuality and...
Yeah, and being exactly like men.
Right, trying to... Yeah, so anyway...
Heaven forbid a man does something that a woman doesn't do.
Right.
I'm not bashing bachelorette parties at all. I'm just... That's the 60s.
Right, that was exactly... Yeah. And so, I think it's important to talk about this for several reasons.
I do too, because I'll tell you, I've been in that situation... Well, you're invited to a bachelor party and you go because you know the guy and
probably a good friend.
Yeah, big party mm-hmm. or a big group.
Right.
And somebody says, let's go to the strip club. And then, you know, it might be that nobody else really wants to go, but everybody's just complacent about the idea.
Right.
And so somehow everybody ends up going.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I've actually had to like leave at that point. I've actually left bachelor parties. You know, we go out to a bar, we have dinner or whatever. And then, you know, inevitably somebody says that. And then he tries to get like two other guys that'll join him in pushing this idea. And then it ends up the whole group will say, fine, let's go. And at that point, that's when I bow out of the group and say, all right, well, good night. I'm not going.
Yeah.
But I think it's such like just. Crap, really, that this is what it's turned into, because it's like it gives men the opportunity, like it's like socially acceptable that it's okay for men to just like have a lust filled night, you know, and it's just socially acceptable.
Yeah.
And like the wives just seem like they have to go along, either they f- feel like they have to go along with it. I don't know. We have women that listen to the show too. And I think that it's important for the women to stand up and make sure you talk about that before you guys get married. Like, hey, listen, you know, for your bachelor party, I want you to have fun. I want you to have all your friends, though, you know, go out with all your friends. But this isn't something that you can do.
Right. And part of me is thinking, if you have to say that to the man you're marrying, maybe you need to think about the man you're marrying.
Mm. Great point. I just think communication is always key.
I agree. But I'm totally with you. There's something that irks me out about, hey, right before you make this beautiful commitment of love and fidelity, let's just go cheat on her a bunch.
Right.
Why don't we go commit a bunch of adultery and lust over all the, you know, because we know that if you lust over a woman, you are committing adultery with her.
Right. Jesus said that. Don't get mad at us.
Yeah. Don't point fingers at me.
Yeah. Because that's Jesus that said that.
Talk to him.
Yeah. Check it out.
Okay. And so obviously there's something wrong there about doing that.
Right. It's not like innocent entertainment at all. It's not innocent. And you know, here's the deal. It's okay.
I don't think anybody thinks it's innocent. I take that back. I do think there are people out there who think it's innocent.
I know there are.
Yeah.
You can listen to read Matt Frad's book, The Porn Myth. There's a lot of guys that think that. Anyway, my sons, when we were in Mass this last week, I could tell, like, my son wanted to leave, wanted to get out. And so he just like, I got to go to the bathroom just to get out of Mass. Like, because he was just, he couldn't govern his passion at all. He wanted to move.
Too much energy.
He didn't really need to go to the bathroom. But as a boy, he couldn't govern his passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he couldn't stand there and say, this is what I want to do, but no, this isn't what I should be doing. I need to stand here.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a boy. A man does not do boy things. You know, and that's what a bachelor party is. These type of bachelor parties that we're talking about. It's men saying, I'm letting my passions govern me instead of I'm governing my passions.
Totally.
And I think it's just a ridiculous that we've allowed society to do this.
Well, and think about what it says about a man who's about to get married, his interpretation and his worldview of women.
Yeah.
You know, you're about to get married to a woman,
mm-hmm.
and you have decided, this is a choice that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that is very, it really shows your hand in what you honestly think about women. If you really think it's okay to subjugate these women,
mm-hmm.
Then what does that say about the one that you're marrying?
Right. Absolutely.
And why is she different? Oh, just because she's not a stripper.
Right.
You know, you think that makes her, gives her more dignity.
Right.
Because that's not why your wife or your future wife has dignity.
Right.
It's because she's been made by God.
Right. Exactly. And I think also another thing that we need to talk about real quick is the idea that, hey, let's go out and just get completely smashed. You know, let's just, it seems like I've been to a bachelor party like this where the whole group thinks that they all have to buy the bachelor a shot. You know, and it's like, well, there's 20 guys here.
Yes.
Know, he can't take 20 shots. And so I think that it's wrong.
Hopefully not.
I pray he can't. I mean, if he does, and I hope he's still alive if he does, you know, that he's not, didn't have alcohol poisoning.
Well, right. I mean, but if you can drink that much.
You're not using moderate. You need to.
And trust me, I know because. I just know.
Yeah. I think, though, that you cannot participate in that as a man, especially as a Catholic man. You cannot, if you see your buddy who's the bachelor and everybody's buying him shots and you know he can't handle that much, you need to, it's your job, it's your duty as a friend, because you know you love this guy, you know he's your friend, you need to slow him down. You shouldn't be at least buying him more shots.
No. And it needs to be something, if you're really friends with this guy, that is discussed beforehand, I think.
It needs to be.
You know,
I mean, you and I did. Like, when you got married, we discussed it.
Right. You know, I think that's something that ideally the best man would have this discussion with the groom to be, hey, we're not going to a strip club, right? I mean, yeah. So if somebody wants to go,
we're not going.
I'll be the one who says no, we're not going, because I talked to the groom about it. He doesn't want to go.
Right.
You know,
it needs to be said.
Yeah.
The foundation needs to be laid, because as the night goes on, the ideas go crazy.
And if I was the best man, I would, in the email when I was inviting everybody,
yeah,
make sure to include that. You know,
right.
One thing we're not doing is going to a strip club.
Yeah, you need to set the precedence for sure.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I agree.
So when we get back, we'll continue talking about this. Maybe give some good ideas of what to do.
Correct.
We're sitting here enjoying a gin and tonic.
St. George's gin.
St. George's gin. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Sitting here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about bachelor parties. How to make some tough, good decisions in difficult situations.
But that's what we do as men, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make tough decisions.
And I think it needs to be said, in that moment, when you feel like you are the only guy who doesn't want to go,
mm-hmm.
there is going to be a lot of pressure on you.
Yep.
To just
but
give
what does
in.
It say, what does it say about you as a man to stand up in your beliefs?
Right, because there's going to be all kinds of thoughts that are going to go through. You're going to think, well, okay, I'll just go and I'll sit in the back and play video games the whole time, you know?
Right.
Or I'm going to go and I'm going to be secretly praying for all these women. And,
right.
You know, like, you can come up with what sound like the best ideas. And they're not good ideas, okay?
Mm-mm.
There's what you need to do is not go.
Right.
And
you need to talk, you know, there's, okay, I've had other friends at bachelor parties who I know their morals would not allow them to do that. However, in that heat of the moment, you know, they're kind of just going along with the flow.
Right.
And I've had to pull a guy aside at a bachelor party and say, hey, man, I know that you're a great guy. You know, I know you have strong morals. You can't go. I'm not letting you go. I'll take you home.
I know you don't want to go.
I know. Yeah, I know you don't want it. And I'm not going to let you go. That's exactly what I said. Yeah. I'm not letting you go.
You have to know somebody, you know.
Well, he's a good friend.
Yeah.
I think that's
because,
important.
You know, I think there's a fine line. Let's just say that this happens. You know, there's 30 of you. There's a fine line because it's not your job to be the dad of other people.
No.
It's not your job to be, you know, to be the everybody else's conscience.
Right.
Okay? That doesn't mean that you shouldn't put a good word in for the right decision. Okay? But you want to try to walk this line up between just kind of ruining the evening for everybody and making sure that you do the right thing.
And I think that's why it's super important to talk about it at the very beginning. You know, even if you're not the best man, the email comes out. I'd shoot an email back like, "Hey, I'm all game. I'm excited. Let's go to dinner. Let's hit a couple bars. If you guys are planning on doing this, I'm not okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll meet you for drinks beforehand.
Right, but I'm not participating in that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Because that way everybody knows ahead of time.
Right, I agree. And so if that does happen though, where you're there. And somebody brings it up because, you know, that is, it can happen, especially once guys start drinking.
Like, right.
There's always the one guy. Seems like there's always one.
Right.
It's important to know who the organizer is, who, in this case, the best man. Go to him and say, hey, is this something we're really doing? Yes. It seems like, and he's going to say like, oh, I guess everybody wants to do it. Well, does the groom want to do it? I don't know. But anyway, if they are going to do it, like, hey, just so you know, I'm not going to go. I think I'll just go home.
Right.
I'll see you guys at the wedding.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the wedding.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And we're not, I'm not talking about like, you know, being a dud. You know, the bachelor party is supposed to be a joyous like celebration.
Right.
Right. And so I'm all game to have fun and to celebrate, you know, this man who's about to join two or about to become one flesh. So let's celebrate it in the right way.
I agree. So what are, let's say, Adam, someone, you're the best man.
Uh-huh.
What does a Catholic bachelor party look like? Adoration.
Adoration. You
mass.
Start out. Yeah. Start out with adoration, private mass.
Uh-huh.
And then a good 2 hours of mental prayer,
mm-hmm.
of silence.
Beautiful.
And then it goes into conga drums.
Conga drums.
Yeah. And dance.
Interesting turn of events.
No.
So we finish. We finish on the conga.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No. I
can't wait to go to a bachelor party.
Yeah. It sounds awesome, right? I think that I'm all game for, you know, let's start out with dinner and maybe go to the favorite bar, you uh-huh. know, of the guy. Maybe shoot some pool. I'm a big pool guy. Like I like to play pool. You like to play pool.
Oh yeah.
I think that's kind of what we started with your bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's good to end. Like I think that you, here's my experience. Don't stay at the bar late into the night. You know, like I
good
say,
advice. Cut, good advice.
Cut the night at the bar around 11.
Go there for a drink or two.
Right. Cut it out at 11 and catch an Uber ride home or taxi or whatever. If there's a DD, great. Catch it home and then have the rest of the party at your house.
Mm-hmm.
Like have a campfire, you know, a fire in the backyard, a bunch of stogies, you know, a drink or two, whatever. But I think that having it at your house at the end of the night, you know, you can play video games, you can go outside and have a campfire, have a cigar. But it gives people a place to stay for the night. They seem to be more secure. Like there's no bad decisions that seem to be made.
Yeah.
Although
bad decisions make great stories. They really do.
Yeah, a lot of bad decisions do make great stories. But you know,
I'm not supporting bad decisions.
Right.
I'm just saying they do make great stories.
I think that. You find, you know, starting golf in the middle, you know, in the afternoon, golf mm-hmm. is another great mm-hmm. one. But I think that there's a ton of things that we can do as men, you know, have a horseshoe tournament. You know, men love competition, like, you know, pool, horseshoes, what's that, cornhole. You know, have something that it's a competition, have a tournament of it. Those are always a lot of fun.
You know what, here's something I think is an important thing to do on a bachelor party that almost nobody does. I think there should be a time to get together and tell stories where people tell stories about, hey, you and the groom, remember? And even
if
they're kind of like, these are the inappropriate stories we can't tell at the wedding, because it shows a story that is like inappropriate about something you did a long time ago is, in my opinion, a celebration. It's a celebration of how far you've come. The reason the story is funny is because you would never do it now. You know, if it's something that, oh yeah, we still do this now, it's not really a great story. But it's epic. The epicness of a story. And epic's
as
not
long
really
as you're not
right
highlighting,
word.
Like making
as long as you're not glorifying
the
it, right?
Sin, yeah.
Right. But it's
if it
still,
is a sin.
Yeah, whatever it is. But you sitting around and telling stories, everybody gets to kind of know the groom, because every big bachelor parties I've been at, there's always a group of, it's the coming together of several circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's rare where everybody
knows everybody.
Knows everybody.
Yeah.
And so having that where you get to sit around and tell stories about you and the groom
mm-hmm.
helps the guys at the, who
yeah.
are there get to know the groom in a new way.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that doesn't. Yeah, that's something that definitely doesn't happen.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
in the beginning, before you drink too much. Not
yeah.
that you're gonna drink too much,
right? I think for my bachelor party, we started out with golf,
mm-hmm.
and then we came back and had a cookout at my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grilled a bunch of burgers, and then we went and played some pool. You know. and had a few drinks, and then we came back to the house, and that was, you know, that was the bachelor party.
Yeah.
I do think that it's important to have a place to go, you know, by 11:30, because as you keep going, you know, there's guy, you know, just how guys are in nature, it seems like that they egg each other on, you know, and start drinking more than what they probably should. It just seems like you can temper things back a little bit at a, like at a house.
Well, and I agree. If you're at a bar and you're not drinking, it kind of begs the question, what are you doing at the bar?
Right.
So you can only really be at the bar for so long before your decision making, you know,
is hindered.
Becomes, yeah.
I mean, you were, yeah. the bachelor party you were just at, you guys stayed up and played video games for...
Dude, it was awesome. We went out to eat, had a couple drinks, then we went back to his place, and we ended up playing Super Mario Brothers, like Super Nintendo, for a long time. It was awesome. And we stayed up ridiculously late. At one point, the best man said, oh, it's 4 o'clock. And I was like, what? What did you... You know, what did you say to me right now?
Yeah.
You better not have said it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah. I have things to do tomorrow.
Because I still have 3 more castles to beat on Super Mario Brothers. Dang it.
That's funny. But, you know, you can have a lot of fun without the debauchery.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that it's just, again, I just want to drive home, like, as men, you know, what's it say as a man who's supposed to be a protector of the house? How are you supposed to protect your wife if you can't protect yourself? You know, if you can't...
Good question.
If you can't protect yourself from temptations, how are you supposed to protect your wife and your future kids and your house?
Well, yeah. I mean, how are you... If you can't... What if you become the threat? You are supposed to protect her from evil. And now you are the evil you're supposed to protect her from.
Yeah.
You have to protect her from yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I just want to make sure we're almost out. I just want to make sure, like, I'm all for having a good time at a bachelor party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think you can do it. I think you can do it without the childlike immaturity of a bachelor party. You know, the glorifying of the, you know, the bachelor party that, like, Tom Hanks was in that movie, The Bachelor Party, or whatever it was.
Yeah. And if
not an Animal House episode.
If worse comes to worse, and you just disappear.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big bachelor party. People are making bad decisions, and you just decide to go home without making a big stink about, you know, like,
yeah.
That's okay too.
Yeah, that's good. Like, keep yourself protected.
Yeah.
Keep your rosary in your pocket.
Always a good decision.
Keep your rosary in your pocket. So, anyway, it's been a lot of fun. Have a great wedding season. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
And Hugh.